something that we all definitely need to have. And I gave you two definitions 2 weeks ago, and I think before then as well. It says faith is a complete, having complete trust, not partial trust, but complete trust in someone or something, complete trust. And then there was another definition that I found that I just fell in love with. It said, faith is a positive response to the Word of God. In other words, when you see it in the Word, you react positive to it. So in other words, if it says you heal, then you start acting like you heal. You start talking like you heal. And that's one of my favorites. I just found that a few weeks ago. That's one of my favorites of all time. If we decide that we want to elevate and increase our faith, you will find that you will start to have more answered prayers. You get to the point where I believe we can get to the point where all our prayers are answered. I'm talking about personal prayers, because when you're praying for somebody else, then they play a role. But if you're praying for something for you and your spouse, y'all in agreement, or just yourself, or what have you, your faith, if we start elevating our faith, and there's only one way to elevate your faith, and that is through hearing and saying and believing and trusting the Word of God. That's the only thing that will cause your faith to grow. Precious Father, I thank you so much for what has already transpired in this service. We honor you. Glory to God. And I thank you that you've honored us this morning. Father, we're asking that the word will go forth accurately, clearly, boldly, and with power. And we want to thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against your word or your people or your church shall ever prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. And so, because this is an introductory slash elementary part of the Word of God concerning faith, the question that if you're new to the faith, when I got saved, came back to the Word, rather, because I grew up in church like most of us did, and like many of you did. I'm sure some of y'all was a whole lot smarter than me. You know, after age 20, you get grown and don't feel like you got to go, or you go sometime, and you become more worldly, and you start losing and forgetting many of those powerful lessons that our mothers and grandmothers, as well as the church, has taught us. I am so fortunate to be inspired by the Holy Ghost to go back to the Word, and because of that, it has been just adventures in faith and such a good time. And I started with people that was teaching faith. And that's how I really got involved in it. Like Brother Frederick K.C. Price out in L.A. With the Faith Dome, and Kenneth Hagin and the Copelands and folks like that. And many of those people if they haven't gone home to be with the Lord, they're still teaching, teaching and preaching the faith, because it's so very important. It is one of the cornerstones of Christianity. However, the cornerstone of Christianity is love, because your faith will not work without love. And that's why the enemy is always trying to attack our love walk. We'll be mad at each other. We'll be mad at our children, baby daddies, baby mamas, and all kind of stuff. You know, why you didn't do this? Why, you know, I didn't get enough carnation milk when I was little, and that's why I act like this. So we always blaming somebody for something rather than sometimes taking the blame for yourself. I mean, everybody had challenges growing up. You can have a two-parent household and still have challenges. And so what you do with those challenges will determine how you come out. But faith itself is so very important. For those that are that will be listening on the internet, my voice probably sounds just a little hoarse, but use your faith and pretend that it sounds strong. So we do have our lessons on the website usually a few days after the lesson, because they have to edit them and check them out and what have you. But there's always some messages that are on the internet. And in just a matter of time, we will be able to, if you want to give electronically, you'll be able to do that as well. So in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock, when the Holy Ghost say, you know, give them $1,000, you won't have time to talk yourself out of it. You can go in and just... Amen. Y'all know how that work. Amen. By the time Sunday service get here, that $1,000 is down to $25. You're gonna talk yourself down. Praise God. So what we want to know is, how do you know that you whether you're walking in faith or not? That's a question that all of us want to know. I mean, what is it that you can detect from this point on to determine, am I walking in faith? Am I standing on the word of God? And that's a rhetorical question, but it is a good question. Also, what does faith sound like? Does faith have a voice? It does have a voice. And then we want to know, what did Jesus have to say about faith? And that's what we're going to do here in Mark chapter 11. Hopefully we are there. Mark chapter 11. What did Jesus say about faith? And Jesus had to walk in faith. He had to believe that the Father was not going to abandon him. He was here in the flesh for approximately 32, 33 years. But the power did not come until after the Holy Ghost came on him in the latter part of his ministry. But he was always walking in the ways of God, even before that. And so the word of God is where the power lies. It can't lie in things. New cars are nice. I love new cars. I like getting in a car, and it's got that. I know you can buy that new car smell, but I'm talking about real new car smell. I like getting in the vehicle and it smells like that. And you look at the odometer, you know, it's like 180 miles on it. And so you know it's a new car. All of those things are nice, and we ought to have nice things. Christians ought to have the best of, if that's what you want. Some people don't like having the best, but we ought to live in the best, ride the best, eat the best, sleep on the best, have the best TVs. Glory to God. Amen. If you like nice clothes, you ought to be able to have nice clothes if that's what you want. Now, some people just, would rather have 10 $10 dresses than $200 dresses. I don't know. But that's your call, you know. That's really, everybody's just, that's just your call. So I'm not here to judge. But give me a $1,000 suit over 10 $100 suits. There is a difference, by the way. Believe me, I remember I bought two suits one time. I had two suits for $100. And I'm telling you, it's a difference. Now, y'all can laugh at me if you want. Just like cars, there's a difference between a $40,000 car and a $20,000 car. Because most people say, well, you just want to get from point A to point B. Well, yes, that's what I'm trying to do. But how you get there it matters a whole lot to me. Glory to God. So, but it's just a matter of choice. It's a buffet, so you don't eat that part of the buffet. Just leave that part on the table for me, and I will gladly take it. Hopefully, y'all found Mark 11 by now. And this is Jesus was always teaching the word. He used a lot of things as teaching moments. They were coming down from ministry, And Jesus saw this tree and thought that that was should have been some fruit on it, but there was no fruit on it. Wonder what happened. Anybody got any theories? Why? Wasn't time. So Jesus, as smart as he is, didn't know that it wasn't time. Amen. All right. Well, let's read on. And it says that he came to the tree and it found nothing. This is in verse 13. It says, "But leaves for the time of the figs was not yet." Somebody said it. For the time of the figs were not yet, but it looked like it was producing. And something very powerful happened in verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "It what? That tree that looked like it had figs, but didn't have no figs." He says, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples, what? They heard it. In other words, Jesus told the tree, talk to the tree. Can trees hear? Everything that has life can hear. Tumors can hear. Headaches can hear. Hearts can hear. Lungs can hear. Kidneys can hear. Everything that has life can hear. And he says, "No man eat of thee thereafter forever." And so as we go on, down to verse 20, and it says, "In the morning as they passed by," now this was about, 24 hours or less, "and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Dried up from the roots. That's amazing. "And Peter called to remembrance and said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." Now, Jesus probably said to himself, this is a teaching moment for them, because the Word of God has always shown us the power of faith-filled words, even in the book of beginnings in Genesis. "And God said," then stuff just start happening. "And God said," and stuff just start happening. "And God said," and stuff just start happening. Jesus said to the tree that no man will eat there after. I don't know about y'all, but I've seen trees fall over, and it take 2 years for them to dry up. Because the leaves and stuff still stay on them, and basically they just kind of like just rot. But this thing was dried up, the Word of God says, from the roots in 24 hours or less. So those were some powerful words that were spoken over the tree. But Peter said to them in verse 22, and Jesus said rather, "Have faith," he answering Peter, "have faith in God," or it's also translated, "have the God kind of faith." Amen. So what he's about to do now is to give them a lesson of speaking. See, because Jesus spoke many of things, and those things came to pass. We pray a lot, but most of the time, most prayers are not answered. Listen to me very carefully. You will not always get what you pray, but you'll always get what you say. You say, "Well, what are you talking about?" Well, I'm glad. Well, you'll find out in a minute. Verse 23, and this is Jesus talking once again. That's what the red letter is all about. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever," now who in the world is whosoever? That's anyone. "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, what mountain was he talking about? Any mountain. Not necessarily Mount Everest or what have you. It's the mountains that's in your life. Is it unruly children? Is it an unhappy marriage? Is it an oppressive supervisor? Is it an infirmity? Whatever it is, that's the mountain. Glory to God. Be thou removed. And so you have to say something to the mountain. You have to tell the mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea. And look what it says now. And shall not doubt in your heart. Now, heart has a twofold meaning. Sometimes it means just the spirit, and sometimes it means the spirit and the soul. And so when you pray, the battle now becomes between your ears, whether or not, excuse me, your faith will hold up or not, whether your faith is going to hold up. And my voice haven't cracked all morning. And as soon as you get into the word, you see how the enemy is? Hey, he is a liar in Jesus' name. All right, so I'm just going to get another cough drop. We're going to keep on teaching. Praise God. Amen. And he says, where did I leave off? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in your heart. In other words, when you, usually I always know instantly, well, not all the time, whether a prayer is going to be answered or not. If I allow unbelief or doubt to, excuse me, to enter into my mind, I know that prayer is going to be hindered. So I have to be very careful. And so he says, shall not doubt in your heart, but what shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. The word of God says he'll have what? Whatsoever he said. Let me read that part again. And shall not doubt where? In your heart. Not talking about an organ. He's talking about in your soul. A man is made out of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit, at the moment of salvation, becomes completely brand new, 100% holy, just as holy as Jesus' spirit, and it's sealed by the Holy Ghost. Our mind, our soul, has to be renewed in order for us to take full advantage of faith and the things that the Word of God has to offer. And all of our life, all the way to the grave, you have to renew your mind. You have to renew your mind because doubt, unbelief, fear, worry, being dreadful, being shy, all of those things will rob you because it's in your soul, and whatever you meditate on, whatever you think about the most, becomes the largest thing in your life. Now, if you feel like somebody at Vicar Christian Center has done you wrong, even though it's a complete lie, you will be fully persuaded that they don't like you at Vicar Christian Center. Amen. So you have to understand how the three parts of your work, you have to constantly reject negative thoughts. It's like birds flying over your head. You can do it because it says so in the Word of God. You can't stop birds from flying over. But you can't stop birds from building a nest in your hair. Right. Amen. They're going to fly over. Now, if they build a nest, you have allowed that. It take a time to build a nest in your hair. And so you can't stop thoughts, but you can do something about thoughts. Now, if you allow those thoughts to come in and feel somebody's done you wrong, you hold on to those. And that's why people have such a hard time forgiving. And unforgiveness will hinder your faith. Right. Amen. You have to forgive by faith. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a decision. You decide to forgive somebody. Your flesh want to get even. Your flesh want to set their hair on fire. But you decide by faith, I have forgiven him, I have forgiven her, and I'm moving on, and I believe that I have forgiven, and you do it by faith. And then you have to tell yourself, I've forgiven her. Flesh, you can act however you want to act. And if you act up one more time, I'm going over and hug her. And then they'll leave you alone then. Amen. That's how you have to talk to yourself. It's a war, saints. There's a war going on between your ears. And you better understand that there's a war going on, or you will always be a captive, a prisoner, and you don't even know you're a prisoner. It's a war going on. Look at your neighbor and say, girl, we in a fight. Amen. He said, well, Pastor, I don't like the fight. Well, you can just get beat up then, because it's a fight going on. You either fight back or you get beat up. Now, it's up to you. What you going to do? Glory to God. Amen. And so, once again, he says, shall not doubt in your heart. You can't doubt. Once you get word for it and you stand on the word, say, I'm determined that I believe, that I receive. I'm determined that this scripture is mine, that it's not just for other people. It's not just for the chosen few. It's for all of us that are saved. Whosoever. I'm a whosoever. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. The word of God says you'll have whatsoever you says. Amen. Glory to God. And then it goes on to say in verse 24, therefore I say, goodness, that's powerful. Therefore I say, because of what he just said before, this is why he's saying this now. Therefore I say, what things you desire when you pray. When you pray. Everybody say, when you pray. What things have you desired when you pray? Jesus said you got to believe that you receive them and that you have them. Oh, goodness. When do you believe that you receive it? When? Not when you see it. When you pray. That's what this is faith. If you get this thing to God, it will change your life. You have to believe the moment you pray or are prayed for that you have it now. And you can't, but you waiting to see it first. No, Jesus said you got to believe it. Then you'll see it. That's opposite than the world. When you pray. You get up, you got down and your back still hurting. And the devil, first thing going to tell you, well, you ain't getting nothing. You have to tell him, to the devil, you're a lying dog. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Because he will torment you into surrendering. And then you'll be mad at everybody else that's healed but yourself. See, I don't want to go to everybody healed. They're going to be looking at me and, well, that's your fault. Because you want to do it your way. We have missed God because we want to do it who way? Our way. Amen. At some point, we all got to figure out God is so much smarter. Glory to God. If he built us from scratch, You ought to think he's at least as smart as you are. Glory to God. Amen. He ain't consult none of us. He's going to say, well, before I hook these people up, I'm gonna contact the Victory Christian Center elders and see if this is the right way to do it. God, please. He ain't contact us. As the old saints say, God is God by itself. Amen. Therefore, I say unto you, because of what I said in verse 23, what things, what do you desire? The things that you desire when you pray. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Then he goes on to say, when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. Because if you do not forgive, verse 26, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. My. Amen. One of the number one obstacle to face is bitterness in our hearts. We bitter against somebody about something. Amen. Then you ain't get what you want. Somebody lied on you, stole your boyfriend, took your husband, took your wife, what have you. You're bitter. People hold grudges against their parents. Well, you know, all the children went to Disney World. You ain't never take us to Disney World. Care you 48 years old, get your rusty butt up and go to Disney World by yourself. My goodness. Now, that's 45 years ago. But that's how the enemy will keep that thing fresh. See, bitterness will keep us from getting our prayers answered. Because when you pray, Mark 11, 25 and 26, says you got to forgive. That's one of the main reasons our prayers are not working, because we don't forgive. And you know what? A lot of people haven't forgiven their own self for what they've done. Because there's some messing up going on around here, have gone on. And and going on. Amen. You got to forgive your own self. Have you forgiven your own self? Amen. Had a good girlfriend. That wasn't enough. Now you're dating a sister too. Now you got the whole family mad. Goodness. So a couple people head went down. What? I ain't mean to go there. I'm just talking. But you have to forgive yourself. You got to let it go. Why? Because flesh, see, if you don't renew your mind, flesh will dominate you. Flesh will do. That's why Christians, it'd be more Christians in the club than sometimes unsaved people. Because they done made up in my mind. Well, it's all right for me to go to the club. Ain't nothing wrong with me, you know, going to the club every now and then. Well, you there every Friday and Saturday, every now and then. Goodness. Well, we say it's okay. He said, well, Rev don't run nothing here. Rev pay rent over there on 67th Avenue. I pay rent on 31st. What do you do at his house? Is his business? Whoa, boy. See, that's what a squirrel in mind will do. Rev trying to get prayers answered. You sitting up putting your tithes, you know, them strippers, you giving your strippers your tithes. Goodness. Amen. So one of the reasons that we assemble together here on Sundays and Wednesdays is to overcome bitterness. Amen. When the move of God happened, just like it happened earlier, if you have some ought in your heart, you should have went over to a brother, and it's just an illustration. Say, brother, you know what? I, I don't know why, but as soon as you come here, I just didn't like you. And I repent of that. But see, if the Holy Ghost moving, it'll move on your heart to do something like that. Amen. Amen. The devil certainly ain't telling you to go to square something away with somebody. Amen. Amen. We want to just dance the Holy Ghost. No, sometimes you got to open your mouth and say, you know what? I've been a jerk to you, and you ain't did nothing to me. Can you please, will you please, can you find it in your heart to forgive me, brother? Amen. That's part of it, too. That's what this assembly is all about. We've got all of these like-minded believers coming together, and everybody acting like ain't nothing wrong. Hey, I'm telling you, it ain't right in every house in here. Don't have me start pointing at some houses now. Glory to God. It ain't right. And until we do the word, admit it's not right, and do something about it, ain't nothing going to change. Not going to change. We got to stop lying. Stop feeling things are okay just because they're our children. No, you can't give your children no slack. They don't get no pass. You better act right. Glory to God. That's why a lot of Christian children, you know, have you ever noticed our dancers? How in the world did I get here? Usually they start getting around 15 and 16. I don't want to dance no more. Why? They ain't cool. What if their friends see them up there doing a holy dance? They're going to put them on Facebook and talk about them bad. Yeah, y'all better keep on dancing. And you better get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It'll keep you out of trouble. See, the things that we need, we run from. You get full of the Holy Ghost and let God guide you, you will never get in the wrong car with the wrong people. You'll never date the wrong guy or the wrong girl. But we run from the Holy Ghost. See, we've got to. Oh, my goodness. His faith is strong. But trust God. My goodness. See, we got to deal with people how people treat us or mistreat us. And we was talking about this Saturday, as a matter of fact. It's not, there is nobody on planet Earth. You can go anywhere on Earth. There is nobody that I know of that's worthy enough for me to get out of fellowship with God because of what they said or did. Now, I'm not going to let them hurt me no more. I'm going to put some molecules between me and them. But I will not allow unforgiveness to hinder my faith, because I got to have some faith. Amen. Do you know, as a pastor of a Word of Faith church, I am a huge target for the devil? Amen. All of these things has been, you know, sinuses. All my life, I never had no sinus problems. We getting too close to turning this thing on, saints. Amen. This is not coincidence. These attacks are not a coincidence. Amen. How many of y'all believe that? So praise God. Amen. So I want to see my prayers answered. How about you? Amen. So you got to be quick to repent. Forgive yourself. Some dumb stuff you did in college. Forgive yourself. College can be a blessing or a curse. Forgive yourself. Move on. Know this also. The devil gonna make sure that you don't forget. He'll bring it up. Every time you're at the airport, you remember, remember them Russian stewardess. Oh my goodness. You say, that's a lie. Russian stewardess, Japanese stewardess, Chinese stewardess. Amen. I've been redeemed. Glory to God. There's always somebody that's trying to take you back to Egypt. Glory to God. And so you have to love your relationship with God. And so you have to be quick to repent. Quick to repent. Why? Because I love God. Amen. And you want to see your prayers answered. So we need to stop whining at God and speak God's words to the mountain. Amen. How many of us are speaking words to the mountain? See, Jesus believed that his words has power. We should. We are covenant children. Jesus laid the blueprint for us what to do. Amen. We need to speak to the mountain too. Learn to speak to those mountains and refuse to let the mountain talk back to you. You tell the mountain, I'm the only one talk around here. Glory to God. Amen. Mountain of high blood pressure, I'm the only one talk. Shut up and listen. Glory to God. I resist you in Jesus' name. My blood pressure is always 115 over 65. Nighttime, daytime, noontime. Glory to God. Lunchtime, breakfast time, 115 over. See, you have to speak to that mountain. You don't take four more pills. Speak to that mountain. Now you got to build your faith up. Now don't go on and throw no pills away. You got to build your faith up. You know, people get excited. Oh, I'm throwing my glasses away. Man, you don't have a wreck. You'll know when you don't need them. You will know when you don't need glasses. Your eyes will tell you, I don't need you no more. Glory to God. Amen. So sometimes we get so excited we hear about faith, we jump out the boat too fast. I remember one time we was over somebody's house and the kid was little. He didn't know how to swim, but everybody else jumped in. He just jumped in and didn't realize he didn't know. And that's what happens sometimes with us. We just jump in. First, we got to learn how to swim. Then we jump in. And speaking of swimming, that's a good idea. If you got children that live in Florida, teach them how to swim. Teach your babies how to swim. Amen. I started with mine 3 and 4 years old, little tiny things. Teach them how to swim. There's too much water around here. They got to know how to swim. Amen. Glory. So we're going to magnify God, not these mountains. That stuff is all around us. Everything is trying to hinder us. Everywhere we go, something's trying to hinder us. Especially when you get saved and try to do right, you know, I've heard so many people say, you know, before I got saved, I didn't have all these problems. Well, you was already in the devil camp. You done left the camp. He's trying to show you, don't nobody quit me. Glory to God. So you got to stand on the word. It's too late to go back. You go back. But it's going to be awful. You might as well learn how to fight back with the word of God. And Jesus said, he told them, speak to the mountain. Amen. That's what we got to do in our lives. Y'all stop fussing at each other. Husband drink too much, speak to the mountain. How is cussing? Is cussing in our heaven? How many of y'all done cuss your husband right in church? I done cussed him out so bad he joined the church. That ain't gonna work. If that worked, we'll have a cussing meeting. So next Friday we're having a cussing meeting. We cussing everybody out that ain't saved, children, grandchildren, husbands, whoever. And boy, we got some cussers in here too, some ex-cussers. Glory to God. Y'all know it. And you would almost be glad to have that meeting so you can flash back every now and then. Goodness. Glory to God. And nobody out cussed these sisters and brothers. Y'all know it. I heard people get cussed out. I felt bad. I said, golly. Wow. So when it comes to prayer, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire. You know what? Most people pray and don't really know what they want. You got to figure it out before you go in there. What do I really want? Folks really don't know what they want. Yeah, so what kind of car you want? I don't know. You know, I kind of like this. I kind of, what, man, please. How, what kind of prayer that's going to be? You know, you're going to have a Toyota front and a Nissan back, Chevrolet roof. You better know what you desire. If you have to take time, so you have to discipline yourself and find out, what is it do I really want? A lot of people think they want to be married until they get married. Do you really want to be married? Well, yeah, all my girlfriends got married. Do you really want to be married? Uh-oh. What do you want? That's the biggest problem that we have. Folks don't know what they really want. And you got to figure out what you want. Because he said, whatsoever things you desire, you don't even know what you desire. You're just praying. So what do you desire? And so you also got to understand there's a time lag between your prayer and when you receive something. There is a time lag. And your faith, keeping your faith fresh and active will determine how long that time lag is. Because we're in an instant society and we're used to seeing stuff instant happen all the time. And it don't happen instant in the spiritual all the time. Well, yes, it does. It's kind of like that prayer Daniel prayed, and he said, well, I heard you from day one, I sent the prayer, but he said that this, and I'm paraphrasing, these demonic beings hindered the blessing. See, it takes your faith to get through that interference, that spiritual interference to get you to your prayer. And then what happens if we don't see it quick, then we say, well, maybe God don't heal everybody, or maybe God don't want everybody to prosper. No, keep speaking to the mountain. Amen? Glory to God. And then while you are in that time period, thank God. Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for the new car. Well, you know, whatever it is. Thank you for the healing. You tell them, say, toes, y'all heal. I know you don't look like it. I know you don't feel like it, but y'all heal. I'm so thankful that y'all heal. And you say, you're talking to your toes? Yeah, you better start talking to them. Amen. That's the mountain if your toes hurt. You don't think that's important that your toes start hurting? I never had gout, but I heard that's some of the hardest, roughest pain that you can have. Get in your big toe. You don't even think about big toes until your big toe start hurting. And then you realize, well, I really need this big toe. Amen. Amen. How do you know? Do you believe that you receive? How do you know? Do you believe that you receive? Well, you know it because you're always thanking God for it, and you don't even see it yet. Father, I want to thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you for the breakthrough in my marriage. Thank you for the breakthrough with my children, my grandchildren, whatever it is. That's how you know you believe it, because your mouth is in order. And see, the problem is, spiritually, and see, there's a parallel between the natural and the supernatural. In the natural, there are so many people with flipped mouths till they don't know how to unflip it. And that's hindering them spiritually. And that's why their mind has to renew, so that they also, and they're the last one to know that their mouth is the one that's getting them in trouble. Amen. See, the same thing every time. Same thing every time. Speak to the mountain. You have glorified this situation so much, ain't no room for God to get in the room. Because this thing has enveloped the room. Is it enveloped or enveloped? Whatever. Fill the room up. Glory to God. And there is nothing left in there because you keep glorifying the problem rather than glorifying the problem fixer. Amen. So the problem is huge because you're thinking about it day and night. But when we start thinking about our God day and night, thanking him day, so Father, I want to thank you that this problem ain't nothing for you. And I want to thank you that you love me so much, Father. Glory to God. You call me son. You call me daughter. Glory to God. I think start getting smaller and smaller. That's why our problems stay with us long. We glorify and magnify our problems, and they get huge. Amen. Let's flip it and start magnifying God. Amen. Amen. Why do you think the scriptures are all filled with praise and thanksgiving? Because that's what we need to do. We need to give thanksgiving, and we need to be in another praise. If the only time you sing to God is on Sunday, boy, you are missing it bad. It ought to be a lifestyle. You ought to be riding on the street singing songs. You know, made up a song. Go to Romans chapter 1. We'll close in a moment. Amen. Every praise service, it ought to be a breakthrough. Glory to God. It's just that powerful. It ought to be a breakthrough. One, every praise service, it ought to be a breakthrough. Thanking God. This is the way we sing praises to our God. Amen. What does faith sound like? It sounds like praise and worship. It sounds like thanksgiving. That's what faith sounds like. Sounds like worship. Sounds like thanksgiving. When the last time you just start thinking, God said, God, I just thank you for being who you are. Amen. So, God, I want to thank you that you was with me all the time. Glory to God. I'm sitting up at night worrying about this knucklehead, but you had me all the time. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. God is so good, I'm telling you. A marvelous God. Romans. I guess I need to find it. See, one of the signs of the latter days or the end times is people are so unthankful. They are. We've got to train our children better. Most of our children, they're just not thankful. They get X, Y, and they... You give them X and Y, and they mad because they ain't got Z. Shoot, you should have grew up when I was growing up. You would have been glad to get X. You would have been thankful. You know what happened? Things got a little better. We got a little bit more influent, affluent, and we just got a whole bunch of spoiled children. They just sit around and cry. Everybody got an iPhone but me. And just crying. Get you a track phone. That's what you need. You need a track phone. Get you a flip phone. Yeah, you got a phone. This is a flip phone. You won't be posting nothing on Facebook, Snapchat, or nothing. But you'll be able to answer me when I call, though. That's a straighten them out. chapter 1, verse 19. And he says that because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The invisible things are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Amen. How many of y'all not glorify God? Neither were they, what? Thankful. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolishness, foolish hearts were darkened. This whole, well, you read chapter 1 in Romans, it'll answer a whole lot of questions about lifestyles, what's right and what's wrong. You just read Romans chapter 1, and then you come back and defend some of this foolishness that's going on now. There is no way to defend it because it is thoroughly addressed in the Word of God. And so we've gotten to the point where we'll see it in the Word of God, but we'll say, well, you know, God understands, that everybody have a little problem. It ain't called no problem. The Word of God called it sin. Y'all done put some icing on it and made it a problem. It's sin. And the wages of sin is destruction. So you can't just do your thing and you change the rules. That's what they do in the last days. The Word of God says, have itching ears, ever learning, but never adhering to the truth. My goodness, they want to hear stuff, but they don't want to do the truth. Especially if the truth interferes with what they're doing. Amen. If something ain't right in my life, I want to know, and I want to get it out, because I need to have a good relationship with the Father. Thinking about this flesh. Flesh will give out on you at some point, but the Father is going to be around forever. Thank you, Lord God. Unthankful. How many unthankful people we got in here? You'd be unthankful. How many in marriages people unthankful? We got unthankful spouses. Well, yeah, you bought me this necklace, but I want the necklace and the ring. Yeah, well, you get this Cracker Jack box to see if you can find the ring. Yeah. I ain't trying to start nothing. And y'all don't bother my car either. Luke, I'm moving on. See, so I'm moving on. They're looking funny at me. Luke. Luke 1. Where we get this? This word, this strictly word coming at us. Let's practice some Thanksgiving when you get home. So thankful. So you ain't got nothing but beans. Say, Father, I'm so thankful that we got beans. Glory to God. We got beans. Say, Father, I like beans. Thank you, Father. Full of beans. Glory to God. We ain't thankful enough. Start thanking God for some of the stuff you got. You just start elevating it. Y'all found Luke yet? Chapter 1, verse 46. Look what Mary said. And Mary said, the angel told her, that she was going to, what was going to happen. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. She was excited about that, being the mother of Jesus. Glory to God. And you know what? All generations, like she said, has called her blessed. Glory to God. But she was thankful. She wasn't whining and murmuring, why y'all chose me? People going to be picking at me. She was thankful. Go to Psalm 69. It's always going to be a challenge when you're a Christian now. uh, Verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song. Amen. That's Psalm 69 we're in, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Glory to God. Why don't you have a time of thanksgiving at the house? Everybody just go around the table. When we have Thanksgiving at the house, before I pray, I say, well, let's go around. What are you thankful for? Amen. Sometimes we do everybody. Sometimes we do half of them. Sometimes I'll pick out four or five. But I want people to just to be thankful, not just to want to just get fooled and watch some football. You know, those things are nice, but we ought to be thankful too. Especially at Thanksgiving. If you ain't thankful at Thanksgiving, something ain't right. Amen. So why Thanksgiving? Well, Thanksgiving makes God bigger. When you're thankful, it makes God bigger, 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 bigger in your life. And that's what we want. We want him bigger in our life. Why? Because I'm thanking God. Amen. What happens with unthankfulness is make him smaller and smaller and smaller. Thanksgiving. Amen. So when we pray the word, are we getting what we say or are we getting what we pray? See, if you pray in line with the word, believe you receive, and know what the desires are, you can change your, we can change our prayer life. Jesus got the perfect formula for us. That is not in the book by mistake, thanks to God. It is in there for us as a guide as to how to get our prayers answered. We got to zip our lips, stop whining to God all the time, stop crying to God all the time, and start praising God and giving him thanksgiving, and things will start to change in our lives. Amen. We cry too much. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to do, I'm almost finished. So let's do this verse. Thank you, Lord. Man, faith just, you can tell when people are in faith, their heart is thankful. So you can say you're thankful, but you can, thanks, you know, if you're thankful, you demonstrate you're thankful. Teenagers, if you're thankful, it ought to be a demonstration. Especially if your parents, you got to, if say you're in a single parent household, you come home and ain't no dishes washed, ain't no clothes washed, you ain't thankful. You are not thankful. Amen. You thankful when you, them dishes shining. You got the, you know, you, I mean, you're going to do some stuff. You're not just sitting around waiting to receive all the time. You're doing something about it. That's boys too. What y'all doing? Is the yard cut? Is it edged? Is the paper picked up? I ain't dropped no paper out there, pal. It's in your yard, boy. You think somebody else is going to come and get the paper out your yard? Goodness. I ain't thankful. Most of y'all got it made. In nice houses. Got car. Now y'all got cars and stuff. Golly. Jobs just sucking up air conditioning. Goodness. The last time you told your mama or your dad said, I'm just so grateful for you. When the last time you did that? You said, well, I don't know. Well, the next time will be the first time, right? Well, start. Let's start something new. Just go on. You could be 50. You go to your mom and say, Mom, I'm so glad. I should do my mom. So I'm so glad. So glad you, my mom. So glad you sacrificed for us. Then I reach in my pocket. Yeah, something for your pocket. Glory to God. Amen. See, you have to demonstrate that you're thankful. Glory to God. Last time you demonstrated, you say, honey, I just love the way you just so nice to you. the food is so wonderfully made, and the house is always nice. Hey, you take this $500, you just go into the mall and just get yourself something. Goodness. Got quiet on that. I was all right till I started mailing. let's do the benediction. Let's do the benediction. Father said, I can't believe he said that. $500. Oh, goodness. All right, I'm going to close with this last scripture. I see y'all looking at me. Oh, mama. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And then he says in verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, and as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. With thanksgiving. Be thankful for one another. Thankful for your church. Thank you for your pastor. Thank you for your elders. Thank you for your fellow members. Thank you for the guests that come in. They don't have to be here. It's over 100 churches in this inner city of different sizes. But they're here. They came here today. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Praise God. I'm going to close there, and then we'll continue next week. Brother still ain't got over the $500 yet. I might need to escort out security team. I might need a little escort out. I'll be right in the middle of like the president. I'm going to be, what? Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Robert, would you come up and close us out, sir? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Is there anyone? I'd like to know, is there anyone here today that heard the word of God and would like to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? I ask you to come forward. Amen. Is there another?
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
It's all by faith. Jesus bled and died on Calvary for our sins. And the only thing we got to do is receive him in our life. Say, Lord, please forgive me of all my sins. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I sinned against you. I know your son Jesus died on the cross just for me. And I receive him in my heart right now. Lord, right now, touch your Lord. Lord, touch her from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, God. Lord, you say you're faithful and just to forgive her of her sins and cleanse her from all unrighteousness, God. Lord, you know our heart. You know everything about her, Lord Jesus. Lord, touch her, God. Mold and make her and shape her into your image, God. Lord, right now, empower her, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Lord, as she walk by faith, God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Do you believe that God has forgiven you?
Hallelujah.
That's how easy it is.
Hallelujah.
It's like Jesus told the woman.
Hallelujah.
He said, go and sin no more.
Hallelujah.
He will receive you today. You are saved.
Trust in him.
Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost fall upon her, Lord. Right now, it's not by power nor by might, but it's by your spirit. Receive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sisters, love on her, love on her, love on her, love on her, love her, love her.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Is there another, is there one desire prayer?
Hallelujah.
It might be someone that's sick in their body. Bless your name. Bless your name.
Bless your name. Bless
you. Huh? Okay. Just like her. Just repeat it and say, Lord, please forgive me of all my sins. I'm sorry that I sinned against you. I know your son Jesus died on the cross just for me. And I receive him in my life
right now
in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, touch your Lord right now. Touch your Lord Jesus. Lord, you say you're faithful and just, God. Lord, you say you're a forgiver, God. Touch her from the head to the toe, God.
Oh,
hallelujah, Lord. Lord, right now, God, Jesus. Lord, I speak healing over her body, Lord. Heal, Lord, right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Your healing, God. Heal the spirit, Lord. Heal the body, Lord, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Lord. It is done by faith. We believe it. We receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said that the angels are rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.